Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Last time we finished our two-day look at the Abrahamic Covenant and, spending only two broadcasts and podcasts on the covenant or covenants, plural, in the Bible is, for me, difficult because we could justifiably invest more time on this. But we want to keep moving in the life of Abram, and he does not let any grass grow under his dusty feet as he continues to go with God in this 12th chapter of the Genesis. And so we are going to leave the Abrahamic covenant now. However, I will say this, we will read about the land, the descendants, and redemption again and again in Abram, in Abraham's life. So I hope you have marked these promises and you will be able to draw all the connections between Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and the rest of, well, frankly, the rest of the Bible. When people want to know why we are spending so much time in Genesis and now with Abraham, I always tell them the same thing. Genesis is the key to understanding the whole of Scripture. Even more than that, I answer that Genesis is the key to understanding the God of the Bible. Do you want to know who God is? If yes, then read, comprehend, wrestle with, intentionally think upon, and pray through the Genesis. The Lord God put this book first in His Word for a reason. He wants us to know Him and His ways, and we find the heart of His own nature therein. If there is a man or a woman who wants to be a builder, say of homes or commercial properties, it is essential this person does some training, takes some courses in how to build a foundation. Any competent builder must understand how to construct a foundation. He or she learns how to measure up all the conditions of the land. They read and listen to lectures about soil and soil classifications, how to make various calculations, what are retaining walls and are they needed. And in larger construction projects, the builder will learn something about piling. By way of analogy, if someone wants to know God, that person needs to have some training in how to build a foundation for such knowledge. How do we build an accurate description of the God who is? At a foundational level, we start with God in Genesis. In these chapters and verses, God reveals the core elements of His nature and His being. So, this is where we begin. And as we return to the text, I would like to remind you that in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, God enters into the covenant with Abram and gives unto the servant Abram the Lord's promises. Then at verses 4 and following, Abram responds in faith to God. Let's pick up the reading now at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4. I will read through verse 6. Genesis 12 verses 4 through 6 says, "So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land." Genesis 12, 4 through 6. Actually, it would be natural if I kept reading and we read from verse 4 all the way down through verse 9 before we pause the reading for instruction. But there is something that is very true of God I want to point out after these three verses, and it is this. When God commands Abram to go to Canaan, God does so by way of giving Abram promises. and the first of those, as we have seen, is the promise for land. So wouldn't we think that when Abram then picks up and leaves Haran, with his wife and nephew and all their possessions and persons, and they arrive in the land of Canaan, wouldn't we think that God would safely settle them in one of the neighborhoods of this promised land? Why is it that verse 6, Abraham passed through the land? And why is it that Canaanites were then in the land, which is God's promised land? Wouldn't we think that God would lead Abram and his clan to a nice, beautiful spot, rich in all the resources they needed to thrive? And would it not make sense for the Canaanite, those dangerous, barbarous idolaters, to first be completely removed by the Lord before Abram arrives? It would make sense for us to think that God would first make Canaan hospitable to Abram and the family, and then to supernaturally guide his servants down into Canaan. But please note, that is not what God does. God has Abram pass through the whole land without settling him. And God allows for an enemy to lurk around the country, being a threat to Abram. The insight into who God is must now be made. When God makes a promise to us, we must never assume that means the promise will be immediately fulfilled. That's first. And second, we must never assume there will not be danger for us while God is fulfilling his promise. I do not know about your own experience with the living God. Obviously, I can only speak for myself, and if you do not mind, I will speak for myself. What I have just shared, this is not something I initially understood when I yielded control of my own life to God. I heard his promises for me from the New Testament scriptures. I received those promises as applicable to me, and I assumed, first, that all of those promises would be immediately fulfilled, and second, that there would no longer be any danger to me that I would have to deal with in life. I was wrong to think that. And it was wrong of those who told me with conviction that if I simply, quote, allowed Jesus into my heart, then my life would be blessed and I would be free of all risks and hazards. What I had to learn the hard way, by experience, is that just because I trust in God, I believe in him by faith, that does not mean he instantaneously fulfills every promise made, nor does he automatically wipe away all threats to my life and to my faith. In fact, God intentionally delays fulfilling certain promises, and God intentionally allows for danger in order to enlarge his presence in my life, in order to show forth more profoundly who he is to me. Maybe this mirrors your experience, and maybe not. But I am concerned. I have a deep pastoral burden for people who are being taught, told, and often cajoled into this teaching that if you will be a Christian, then God is somehow bound on the spot to make all his promises to you come to fruition, and that God is somehow bound to take away all danger from you. What Abram and a multitude of others in the Bible teach us is just the opposite. So how is it that we allow for such a false teaching today? Well, I think this reflects what the Apostle Paul predicted to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. That's 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, and that time has come. We live in a time when specifically people who claim to be Christian, people who drop into the churches, men and women who are big consumers of Christian podcasts and Christian radio on in the car and elsewhere, they have an insatiable appetite for having their ears tickled. They definitely accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own fleshly desires. These turn their ears from truth and turn aside to myths. And that is exactly what the prevalent health, wealth, and prosperity false gospel is. It is a myth. Too many times to count, I have heard Abraham cited as a person for whom God made life easy, comfortable. Abraham sitting around enjoying the enchantment of his riches in tents with his family and camels and flocks and herds and gold. He had what is called the favor of God upon him. The insinuation is that if we will just have faith as Abraham did, then we too will live as glamorous a lifestyle as he did. But what Bible are the proponents of such ear-tickling reading? I tell you, they are not reading the text carefully, thoroughly, devoutly, and accurately. They are not. Like the older believers who told me that inviting Jesus into my heart, that is, becoming Christian, would make my life easy, these quote-unquote teachers peddle such myths. Genesis 12, verse 6, Abram passed through the land. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. This teaches us that when God makes a promise to us, we must never assume that means the promise will be immediately fulfilled. And second, we must never assume there will not be danger for us while God is fulfilling his promise. More on this tomorrow on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.